Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello, hello. This is Morgana Ray with my husband, Devin Galladay, the handsome.
She pronounced my last name correctly. So
yeah, I'm one of the few.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about all that.
It's as if we've met each other.
Right. So just to be clear, mm-hmm. I've had a crown put on my tooth. We don't have hot water. I was out fixing the hot water heater out in the back. So we have, you know, sometimes I pull it off. Sometimes you have to get in a pro, somebody who knows what they're doing. So I'm feeling a little rustic.
Speaking of pros, and we have the raccoon adventure.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole separate other thing. I haven't slept in like a week.
Yeah, because we have a family of raccoons under the chair, under the stairs.
Right. And so I think that's worth repeating. So what we did was, I think we did the nice thing, which was the humane thing. We got a person to trap the raccoon.
Talking about real professionals.
Real, right. Trappers, right? So who are going to, they were going to treat it nicely and all that other stuff. And so we didn't know, because it was under the house, that there was a family. But so I'm assuming there's
one
raccoon.
I had a suspicion.
Well, I wasn't sure. So, but we had it because it's not raccoon baby season. That's supposed to have been moved on. So the raccoon has moved into the house. We hire the trapper. The trapper comes within an hour. Raccoon is caught. And it's exciting. But of course, there's still noise going on and the raccoon's out in front. So we keep the raccoon. The guy in the morning picks up, because I don't sleep. The guy in the morning picks up the raccoon, starts driving it to wherever raccoon land. He's going to take this raccoon.
I think the Los Angeles forest.
Something like, right. Yeah. Exactly. So he's going to do that.
You know, one of the ways I know that Devin loves me is he researched a way to take care of the raccoon situation without hurting the raccoon, knowing how I would feel.
Right. And knowing full well that I probably would have come to my own different conclusion that would have been less friendly. And I'm glad that we did it the way that we did it. But so at some point, I say to the guy, because he calls me up, because, hey, I've got your raccoon. It's great. I'm going to be leaving here shortly to take it to this place. And I said, that's terrific. But I think there's more raccoons because I think I hear them. I think they're squealing. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I didn't think it was possible. So he checks. Sure enough.
Nipples.
The whole nipples on fire.
Yeah.
And so he goes and he's like, mommy. Oh, my gosh. So now it's a rigmarole. So the guy comes in, crawls into the house and he's like, I see them. And they all climbed up in the walls. So they're not coming out.
You keep talking. I'm going to look up what a raccoon signifies. You keep going.
Oh, in terms of magic?
Totem, yeah.
Okay, so the raccoon crawls up in the walls. It's they're gone. He's like, I saw two, but I have a feeling there's three. And so the only thing they can do now is take the captured raccoon and put it back in the house, which is, who wants that? That was the problem. Was having the raccoon in the house. But then what they do is they spray a male raccoon musk into the house because the raccoon male will get rid of, will kill everybody. That's what the male raccoon, even though they're adorable and cute and they do little human things with their hands, exactly, great minds think alike. So the raccoon does human things, we think it's adorable, but they're crazy and they're problematic.
I thought ours was cute.
It's beyond
wanted to come
cute.
In and be a pet.
Right. Yeah. No.
I saw the video of the guy who was feeding 30.
Our house and eaten our cats.
Yeah. Well, that's why we didn't let them.
Right. Eat. So there's only so far my generosity of caring for your feelings goes. So anyway, they let him in there, spray this special musk, which basically puts the raccoon, the mother raccoon, in flip out mode because she knows the male raccoon is going to cause havoc. And then so she has to lead the raccoon, the baby raccoons out one by one because they're too big to like do something with all three of them. But it has to find a new location. And then it has to take escort each one, one by one, to the new location and leave them there.
This is such a Los Angeles story.
Right. But this is all quality problems.
No, yeah. Well, it's just like the home and the finding a new place to live because, you know, your place has changed owners and been taken off the market. Yeah. If you read the show notes or you got my email or you saw me on social media, I said we were going to do tarot readings and we're going to talk about manifestation. And I promise we will get to that.
I mean, this isn't a show about raccoons and me fixing
all,
a water heater.
It's all about raccoons and water heaters and chimneys and home improvement. But so the raccoon spirit animal is a problem solver. A clever totem, the raccoon offers lessons about the importance of adaptability in any situation and taking the time to look at the big picture, not just what wants, not just what one wants to see. So there's something in our environment that is getting our attention and reminding us that we are problem solvers. Those who have the raccoon as their totem are problem solvers who leave no stone unturned in their quest for truth and solutions. As they remain calm under pressure, these individuals also have an insatiable curiosity about the world around them while possessing the wherewithal to know to look before they leap.
Well, they are, they're smarties, that's for sure. And one of the first things that the pro trapper had said is that, you know, if you catch a raccoon in the trap, you'll never catch it again. Like it's learned that lesson hard. So it was like, it's one of those things that now we have the trap displayed, but closed because we're just putting the display there through its, you know, like its opening just to terrorize it. So it knows that.
Oh, I thought it was just like art. I didn't know why.
No, it's to terrify the raccoon to realize, oh, I should not come back.
Okay.
So that's what the hope is. The hope is that this raccoon will not be coming back, will take its children.
Yeah, no more cat food left out after dark.
Except for the bowls that are out there.
Well.
Right now.
Except for those.
Right. Because there's hungry raccoons.
Yeah.
And they should, you know.
They're cute.
All right. Great. So there we go.
So let's see. So just putting it out there, raccoon magic, raccoon energy. If you have a problem that needs to be solved, be curious. Be thorough and look before you leap. Those are the messages that I got from the raccoon totem. And I would also say, and trust yourself to be smart and do the necessary research and due diligence and that you can solve whatever problem is in front of you. So I did a little tarot reading inspired by my husband last week, which you're also going to have to do your own. Because mine was, I asked the question, what do I need to know by the end of this week? Which I think was similar to what you asked. And then I realized before the show, but that's kind of personal to me. So I'm just going to go through my interpretation quickly, get Devin's feedback. And then I'm going to ask Devin to do a reading. And you get to decide what it is. If somebody wants to ask a question, call in. Producer, can you type in our number since we don't have the banner anymore that has the show number and
we'll do a generic reading this week.
But also if you're listening to the live and you have a phone handy, you can call at any time at 888-627-6008. And I'll repeat that, 888-627-6008. So my reading And I like to do a little three-card reading, past, present, future. So the first card that I pulled for the past is the Knight of Cups, which is a handsome, romantic knight on a white horse, and he's in shining armor. Just the cutie, like what every woman wants. He's heart-centered. He's holding the Holy Grail. He's not off to battle. So there's something romantic about him. He's in touch with his emotions and his feminine side and his creativity and his intuition. So I assume this is Devin, because Devin is, in fact, a knight, knighted in San Marino.
I am a Cavaliere di San Marino.
A little young. Yeah. Well, knights tend to be younger than Devin, but Devin is bona fide a knight. So I'm going with that. So one of the interpretations of the Knight of Cups is a new project. So I would say that the past, just because he's not really going anywhere, which is what's interesting about this card. I think it's just, I've been with Devin not going anywhere for a year. This has been the longest we've ever gone without getting married, without leaving the country, getting married.
It's crazy making.
It is crazy making. Look, to be confined and in quarantine, there's no better situation for this in the world. We have a house. Devin is, and by the way, creativity is also associated with this handsome cupbearer. Devin is, you know, creating music, like recording these beautiful songs that he wrote back when he was young, and then more recently.
Depressing songs.
But they have great melodies.
Well, but they are some depressed. I was a depressed little kid. This is the joy of this whole crazy, sexy midlife thing.
Well,
the whole.
But I enjoy being
the angst.
With you.
The teenage angst is powerful. For those of us who have kids, know all about that. Hopefully, you know, you're enjoying it and are of solace to the young minds, the young impressionable minds.
It just reminds me how grateful I am to be in my 50s instead of in my teens and 20s. I just got recruited to lead a live training for a group that I've been volunteering with. And I've just been a follower and a busy bee for this group because I love what they're doing in the world. And then I was just like, hey, can you lead the training? And I'm like, sure, I have no idea what you want me to do, but I will do it. And then a bunch of more experienced people started pointing out all the things that I was doing wrong. And the joy of being like a breath away from turning 54 is that I take the feedback, I make the adjustments, and I move on, and I just don't care. It's like the shame and the heaviness of being a younger person is just like, oops. Okay, now I know, and thank you for helping. So past would be, I think, just this year in seclusion with this handsome man, my knight in shining armor, El Caballero de San Marino, Devin de Galladay, of Galladay. So present is the Nine of Coins, and it's a really cheerful yellow card of this woman in a beautiful kind of luxurious dress in her garden with her hawk. So she's very, very like upper caste and surrounded by her coins. And again, it's like, I'm here and I'm in my garden. Literally, I have my garden. I am, you know, adopting feral cats. I'm already grooming my next feral cat. His name is now Lou, after the Irish god of the sun. So there's this just enjoying being in her own home, And I feel really, really grateful for the security. And there's also a piece of it that I am spending an insane amount of money this month on chimneys and water heaters and raccoons and water bill and who knows what else, because the month is really young. But it's just like every day there's some new multi-hundred or multi-thousand dollar bill. And I guess that's just this month. So yeah, she's bright and she's surrounded by money. And I think if we're talking about the present, I'm really, really grateful that I can go through all this annoyance and I'm just not freaked out. So there is like enjoying your garden and gratitude for what you have now. I think that's what this card is about. Devin knows way more about tarot than I do. I mean, I'm a fourth generation tarot reader. Devin has studied it from the occult standpoint, way beyond what I've ever had the patience for. So you can correct me on everything and reinterpret all of it.
I'm not going to.
I would love to hear your interpretation. And then finally, this was my favorite, the future. I've been so lucky. I've been just drawing all these positive cards every time I do a reading these days. The future is celebration, the four of staffs. It looks like a wedding. Hey, Devin, want to get married? So there's a wedding in our future. But since I asked about by the end of this week, I'll just say there is some kind of celebration coming, some lovely thing that I have no idea what it is, which is what makes it all the more fun. And it has that sense of home to it, which again makes sense since we aren't going anywhere. All of my cards are kind of pretty static. So maybe there's just, you know, celebrating something at home. And we'll find out what that is. So that was my personal reading.
Well done. So, I mean, honestly, what I end up doing just is Morgana wants me to do this. I wouldn't. That's me. So, but here we are and happy wife, happy life. And let's read some tarot cards.
Okay.
But so here's the thing. When my wife, my lovely wife is doing her own reading, the way I tend to teach it, this is just the way it was sort of handed down to me. And I think it's important is that if you, let's say you're at home, you can either study. You can have intuitive experience of the cards. Great. Either one of these things is fine. In other words, if you buy a book and you memorize all the contents of the book and that's the way you want to do it, big thumbs up. If you intuitively hit all the cards and you come up with completely different understandings of what a traditional reading might be, great. Love it. Run with it. If you decide that you're going to be this intuitive person in the beginning, and then later at some later point, you're like, I'm going to be the master occultist, then go knock your socks off, right? Like to me, it's not about that. But so here's the way I come from it, that the 78 cards in the deck are, in my humble opinion, connected to Kabbalah, the original sort of like occultist thing of 72-8, sort of like philosophical spiritual adventures of the individual. I think that idea lends itself perfectly to divination. A lot of the ideas, and I do want to say, because if we get a card like, let's say, the Tower or some sort of a card that people go, what? It's a bad card. It's a terrible
scary looking card.
It's a scary looking card. But a lot of this stuff has much to do with sort of like the human psyche and not necessarily, I mean, is it conceivable that you pull the death card and then 2 weeks later, somebody you love dies or somebody recently died and it speaks to you that way, then that's totally cool. But the death card within itself isn't necessarily. So if I pull the death card, I don't want anybody to be flipping out.
It also has some really happy, hopeful, lovely elements in the death card too. It's not, I
don't know about that.
It's got the flower. It's got the sunrise.
Well, okay. So it depends on the deck that you're using.
I will look for the happy thing.
I think you should. I think they should create the Pollyanna deck where everything is just rainbows for all who care. There's just rainbows and there's just flowers and springtime. And so we had a good reading last week. I'm not all saying all this to, you know, freak anybody out or not freak anybody out. Matter of fact, what I did, because I didn't want to spend like a half an hour shuffling the deck as I did last time, I kind of pre-shuffled it. And the question this week is really,
you don't want to show off your like old card shark tricks?
No, it's, we've already done that. Okay. It's too much. It's too much aggravation. And so the cards are going to be, well, they're going to be whatever they are. But the important thing is, the way I kind of tend to look at it is there is a little bit of intuition. There is also a little bit of traditional understanding. And then there's sort of like a higher level occultist kind of thing. But I'm going to read this sort of a general thing. This is going to be our hit of the week. The hit of the week is what can we do to sort of like fit into our universe a little bit better? So I don't know if that's a question or a directive or something, but we're always looking for ways to live a happier life. So that said, the first card we're going to get is, Queen of Cups. What do we see about the Queen of Cups? If you notice that she's sort of like right on the shore, and she is wearing sort of this kind of very watery cape. She's gazing into sort of like what I would consider to be, you know, all the cup cards have sort of, well, cups on them, things to carry, hold water, liquid, fluid. And she has one that sort of like has a cap on it. And if you notice over here, there is some angels on either side of the card. She's wearing a crown, so she's sort of glorious. She's sort of at peace and loving and sort of happy, and she's on the shore. And I would say
and
fairly
the water's
content.
Very still.
Yes, the water is very still. And so we have this sort of mermaid kind of thing. My screen is twisted around, so.
And not everybody's going to be watching the video.
Oh, okay. Well, so anyway, at the bottom of her throne, there's sort of like a mermaid, you know, angelic cherub kind of thing on the half shell at the top there.
Kind of like Aphrodite has the half shell.
Yeah. So one of the ways we can look at this is sort of like, this is the water of water, this card. In other words, from an alchemical standpoint. And so the water of water how do we describe it? It's like the flowing of the flowing. It is the feminine of the feminine. One of the ideas that we come away with, at least that I do, is this deals with the idea of Bria, which is connected quite intimately to this notion of Bina. And Bina is sort of like the divine mother, the divine feminine. So when we talk about the Queen of Cups.
And that's Kabbalah.
Yes, yes.
And what is Bria? These are terms that
it's too much to go into. We'd be here for 45 minutes.
Okay.
But really what we're talking about, the most important takeaway is that in general, when we talk about
Bria is the dark mother of potentiality.
Again, we're getting into a much heavier question.
I'm just helping.
I know. Thank you for opening that really impossible door to close. Basically, you can look at Bria as the divine mother, and she's the creator of all things. And that creator of all things is actually really quite wonderful. And from Bina's perspective, all of her babies are wonderful and perfect. And so before we get to Bina, there's just the endless, not the endless, but it's sort of like all pure potential, all this, you know, like everything is possible. And so Bina starts carving out little niches of the perfect light to create specific things. And so some of the things that she created is happiness and singing birds and whispering winds and all that other kind of like fun, romantic things. But she also created limitation, right? So she created things like death, and she created things like chaos and challenge and dismay and hopelessness. And so Bina looks
at
these.
She loves all of them.
Yeah, she loves all of these things.
They're like her baby raccoons.
Right, exactly. She loves I don't have to like baby raccoons, but for sure, this particular queen does. But because we're talking of the water of water, you can look at it from the standpoint of this is like the fairy princess of all fairy princesses, but the sort of like the adult version of that. She is solid and strong and smart and intuitive, and she's solid all the way around. She is capable of walking into any circumstance or situation. And this is, if we're talking about you, then this may be much more about you, but this particular card is sort of like the present time. So in other words, there is a lot of love, there is a lot of hope, there is a lot of flowing and sort of like ease of consciousness and ease of movement. In other words, there isn't something that is sort of overbearing in this particular moment, which is a good thing. But remember, the human consciousness is this up and down thing. But right now,
I like how she's looking at the cup instead of looking at us.
there's something very introspective about her.
Well, very frequently you're going to find on most of these court cards, at least in the Rider-Waite deck, that they're going to be sort of hypnotized by their own element, as it were. And so this card is no different in that particular standpoint. So if you are thinking about, well, okay, so what's happening now? You can overall think of that, even especially if you're like, but I'm having a terrible week. This would be one of those cards that I would say, okay, allow yourself to open up and feel a little bit of freedom in the universe. Even though things are challenging, they may look that, I would sort of challenge you, seeing this particular card, as things are not nearly as dark and desperate as they may be. That while Binah, the Dark Mother, has the capacity to do things that we down here don't particularly appreciate, overall, she's sort of like this rock star. And frequently when we talk about, you know, sort of like the older female, in other words, we also think sometimes about fertility with this particular card. So if you've been trying, many blessings here. So there's a lot of positivity in this card. And I would sort of internalize that to understand that even if you're having a feeling that may be negative, to understand that at this very moment, things are sort of perfect as they are. So.
And there's that intuition element too.
Yeah, well, that's, yes, I had mentioned that earlier on. So the second card that we will look at, ooh, a cool card. One of my more favorite cards in the deck is the Magician. You will see that he is robed in red, frequently dealing with ideas of ambition. We have sort of like blooming flowers above and surrounding him overhead. He is reaching up to the sky, and then you will also notice that he is pointing down at the ground. And you'll see this sort of infinity symbol above his head, which is
as above, so below.
Maybe? Exactly so. In other words, he's kind of like making that distinction. And the Magician is sort of the person who is the embodiment or the crossroads of that as above, so below notion. In other words, the idea, right? If we're just to put it in the most practical sense in the world, we've got this idea of this above, right? This perfection above, we have the capacity for that perfection below. It may not be, you know, always the way we want things to manifest. And here we will also see, you'll see sort of like a table before the Magician, and there's a bunch of different implements before him. And that means he is working in harmony with the universe, right? So we have a lot of lush flowers, lots of green, lots of things in life that are happening in a positive way. We've got his undergarment. You will see his white, which will stand for purity. I think that my wife wants to play along, so she's looking up things on the internet at the same time, which is very helpful.
I realized that I never mentioned that today is 11-11-2020. And 11 is a power number in numerology. And when you've got 11-11, that actually symbolizes as above, so below. And I just remembered that when you started talking about the card. Now it's like, well, what does 2020 mean? I have no idea. That's why I'm looking it up. Keep going.
Okay, so there we go. We have this as above, so below idea. In other words, this particular person is sort of the conduit between this as above, so below, and works in harmony within that universe. So in terms of the past, is that, again, whether you realize it or not, you have this sort of innate ability to work within the universe and sort of claim it. Like, and we're actually going to discuss this perhaps a little bit later, maybe ironic, maybe not, that there's some positivity that is going on between these particular pairings of cards, between what is the past and what is the present. So we have lots of love that's happening right now. And part of that is that you already have that ability at all times, I would argue, but particularly like with connection to this particular card, I would suggest that even if you're having doubts, and by the way, if you're feeling great, then feel great, right? Run with that. Like if the presidential election made you feel wonderful, then big thumbs up. If the presidential election made you feel terrible, these qualities that are within you don't necessarily, well, they don't go away. unless you make a decision to say, well, I'm going to be so angry and I'm going to be so upset and there's so many things that are wrong with the world. We can do that. We can absolutely do that.
I did that for 4 years.
You did that for 4 years. I didn't. I didn't at all.
One of us has to be solid. That's the great thing about it. We take turns.
We take turns. So anyway, so and as people we go, we just have our ups and downs. There's all of a sudden there's going to be this tragic thing. We're going to have to walk through it. But we have the capacity to do so, right? Because remember, the magician card isn't just sort of like, yes, it's specific and prominent in this reading right now. But all the 78 cards are different aspects of our humanity. Right? Our spiritual, our divine, our philosophical selves. So these things that we talk about when doing a divination or a reading or something like that is this thing where we can actually kind of stop and go, oh, wait, I'm this, I'm already this. Now it's just a matter of not whether I'm willing to take the decision to start aligning myself with that notion right in this moment, even though it may not be practical, even though it may be uncomfortable, even though it may even be weird. Like, what are you talking about, crazy person wearing a lumberjack costume, talking about water heaters and magic at the same time? So this is our past, our present. So
past,
what
is the
our
magician card? Present is the Queen of Cups.
Right. So our next card. Oh, okay. So this is an interesting card. So this is the Five of Cups. So what's happening with this particular guy? If you notice, his or her face is shrouded, wearing black. The castle is sort of like, the castle over here is sort of like on the other side of the water.
There's a bridge.
There is a bridge, but it's on the other side. But what this individual is staring at are these three spilled cups that are in the foreground. And what he has his back turned toward are these two full upright cups. And what's really important about this is sort of the card that I call, everybody at the party gave me a hug, but except for this one person. And now I'm just going to think about the one person who is not supporting me at this party. And I can't get this one person, even though 30 other people hugged and kissed me as I came through the door. There's this one person. So I'm going to pay attention to these three cups that are turned over and tossed to the side, where I have two full ones that if I only turned around, and maybe if I turned around, I might see the bridge back home, but perhaps this mourning individual is taking their time to sort of like pay attention to the thing that they didn't get, while not acknowledging what they already have. It's sort of like, for me, it's also one of those definitions of fear. I forgot where I was going to go with that definition of fear. Oh, fear is sort of like losing what you have, or the fear of not getting the thing that you think you deserve. So I think it's a little bit of a heavy card, but if you are happening in this week, where all of a sudden more happens in this week, where all of a sudden you are like really going to be fixating or only seeing the thing that didn't go your way, then obviously really what the answer is start recognizing A, your abject power that is already there. I don't mean to block my wife's face.
It's okay.
And understand that perhaps with some of your own intuition and your creative harmony within the universe, that you may be able to turn around.
A change of perspective.
And have a change of perspective.
Ooh, that was a great reading.
Well, anyway, so that's what we've got for this week. I wish you guys, and by the way, if this was like, oh my God, if you had that moment right now, then you should let us know about it. And we can talk about it, because we love that. I want everybody to lead good lives. And that's sort of what we're doing here.
So we're going to be talking about manifestation, because this is kind of a thing that Devin and I could talk about for 12 hours straight without a break.
A lot.
But if you have a question about the cards or manifestation or anything, you can call us at 888-627-6008. And if not, as I said, we can talk forever. We have the gift of gab.
Right. So, well, we've already talked through most of the show. So,
well,
about water heaters, raccoons, and the Five of Cups.
What is, Devin, what is your favorite manifestation trick?
Okay, so it's, I don't think in terms of tricks, right? I think it's much more about realization. And so I'm gonna start with like the heaviest, heavy duty, most abundance filled thought that I can come up with. It's not that I've come up with it. It's just sort of the reality. And the reality is that you create your own. In other words, you create your own world. You create your own universe. Let me give you an example. And by the way, I think this is like, this is one of those things that like you wake up in the morning and you just aren't feeling out of sorts. It's one of those things that like, for me, it's like you come back to over and over and over again. So let's say as an example, I'm not going to go into politics, but there's a politician or a group of people surrounded a particular idea and they have this thought and you're like, their thought is a terrible thought. It's a terrible idea. I mean, certainly like I can look at a younger generation and go, what are they doing? That makes.
And those clothes.
Well, that's even beyond the clothes, you know, but sort
Pull
of
your pants,
certain
young
ideas,
man.
Like they don't make sense and they don't resonate true. Part of the reason why they don't resonate true is because it's not my truth. It's not the thing that necessarily I need to focus on. Now, I can take seeing somebody else's truth and I can either say, well, but I'm going to judge that truth now. And maybe I'll make myself miserable if there's enough of that truth around me that I don't particularly, it doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't work for me. Matter of fact, I think it's wrong and detrimental to this earth as we know it.
Now you sound like me. Go on.
I don't know wherever that came from. But so, okay, so we have all these feelings about all these awful things that are around us. And without the idea that part of what we do is people, in other words, at some point in our lives, we grow up, and most of us, we get a job that's probably fairly suited for us. We surround ourselves with friends that are, you know, almost certainly suited for us, right? And those friends that we've chosen agree with a lot of our sensibilities. Not always, right? And we can have friends that we don't necessarily have to, because if we talk long enough, at some point we're going to disagree about something.
So what does this have to do with manifestation?
Okay. The point is that your manifestation gets to coexist with everybody else's manifestation. And what that means is just because there's an idea out in the universe, you don't have to run to it. You don't have to glom onto it. You don't have to try it out. You don't have to embrace it. You don't have to do anything. What you get to do is really focus on who it is that you are, what it is that you want out of your world. And this is something that you do on your own, right? This is like, if you want to manifest something, you have to know what it is that you're hoping to manifest. So you may need to meditate. You may need to sit down and make a list. You may need to kind of look at what your life has brought you up to this point and have a rough idea of, oh, where am I headed? What does the next few years look like, right? So as an example, for us to get married, we didn't need a ton of money. And the average cost of weddings in California is something like $35,000 or $40,000. Some crazy number.
I looked at that and thought, this is ridiculous.
But people
do that. Towards the house. Normal people do that.
Normal people do that.
Yes.
So you have to decide why you're doing that. You want to talk about manifesting something. What are you attempting to manifest by having that big fancy wedding? I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Well, you got to have yours. And the
I had
joke,
I
the
did.
Joke is even though I was and my father's daughter and I was too cheap because I was like, I'm 47. I'll have to pay for it. I'd rather buy a house. And then the cosmic joke is I've had more fancy weddings than anybody else in the world.
And they
were just given to me.
Right. And so the idea, part of that manifestation is about taking action towards the goal. Right. Mm-hmm. In other words, if somebody were to say to me, oh, you want to get married 25 times in 25 countries, how are you going to do that? And if I came with that idea of, oh, my God, how am I going to do that? I would probably be petrified by the number 25. I'd probably be petrified by weddings. I'd probably be petrified by relationships and long-term relationships because there's all this stuff. And so how do I deal with all the stuff? Because the stuff is the stuff that overwhelms me. Right. So the idea here is, in terms of manifestation, is you take, matter of fact, our dear friend Rebecca, who has appeared on this exact show, told me a number of years ago when we were having like a heart to heart about life. She said, "How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time." Oh, and that's what you do. Like
yeah.
Right. So that's what you do. In other words, if you want some manifestation, right? Let's say you can't afford a car. You can't go to school to get the job that you want. But you have an idea that I want to be, I don't know, a veterinarian. Pick anything. I want to do this thing and I can't quite see my way to getting the thing. So how do you manifest that? What you do is you take some tiny action that you can
baby
do.
Step.
Tiny itty bitty thing that you can take to move that ball forward. And maybe it's like, okay, so I need to go to school to be a veterinarian. That's fine. But I didn't have good grades. That's fine too. But I, you know, I don't like animals. Okay, so that's a poor choice. We'll remove that one from the equation. But let's say you like animals, you want to be a veterinarian. What's the first thing that you can do that costs you no money when you don't have necessarily money?
Well, you can volunteer to like pet the animals at the shelter, or be a volunteer at the shelter, or work at a shelter and actually get paid. I would say baby steps. It was just like when you put yourself online without any expectation of meeting anybody important online, but you were just doing it to like create the energy that, hey, I'm looking, universe, hello, open for business.
Right.
That's just a manageable baby step. And the smaller the step is, the less fear and the less resistance there is. And then every time you accomplish it, you have more confidence and more excitement to take your next step.
Right. And so those things, and by the way, some of those, maybe it's volunteering somewhere. It might be like, well, I'm going to call up a veterinarian school and find out how much it costs just to have that information. Okay. Because the number is at least part of the goal.
Yeah.
Right. The number is okay. It's going to cost X amount of money to do that.
And what kind of financial aid and what kind of, you know, special scholarships?
All kinds of grants. There's all kinds. And again, we're not talking about going to school. We're talking about getting the thing that you want, because most of our larger dreams are scary.
Oh, here's another thing that I would add to it. And then I want to share some of my manifestation things. But yes, the bigger, make your goal bigger and further out in the future. Whatever your dream is, make it even bigger and put it farther and farther out in the future so that you have breathing space. Like make it 10 years instead of 1 year. So the more breathing space you have, the less resistance you have to taking baby steps now. And baby steps will get you to bigger than your dream faster than taking giant steps to a smaller goal. Because that's really just how our psychology works. We can accomplish so much more if we cut it down, like Devin was saying, into smaller sizes, and make your goal bigger, because what you can accomplish long-term is far bigger than you imagine. And it's so much fun to discover. And it often, in my experience, happens earlier than you expect, but put it farther out so it doesn't freak you out and stop you. It creates less of a safety resistance. Like last week, I was talking about change happens at the speed of safety. If you put it way out in the future, then you're safe right now, which means you can move forward now. Other really easy manifestation things that have worked for me really well. And before I go into what I had in mind, I know Devin, we have a jealous cat who is just dying for attention.
Because I'm also a cat wrangler and I miss this guy.
Yeah.
So he's here bothering everybody in a good way.
Yes. For somebody who hates cats, you're very, very nice to them.
Yeah, I need to change that. Please go on. Manifest okay. something.
Yeah,
can I manifest no cats in this radio show?
The less attachment you have, the faster things come. Because again, attachment is fear and fear pushes. So, you know, I like to not micromanage what something is going to be. I like to know what I want. It usually lands in my gut, but I may not know the specifics. No, not knowing the specifics is really, really great because it makes it a game. That's why our getting all these weddings and getting married has been so much fun and so easy, because
we really didn't care how it happened. And I would have been fine just sneaking into churches in a $20 Ross dress for the rest of my life with like nothing else. And I would have been fine.
So that's true. That's why I picked you.
Yeah, I'm a cheap bride.
Right. Right. That's. But by the way, that's part of the manifestation deal. Part of the manifestation is, and this is just a little sidebar when we're talking, because a lot of what we talk about is love and relationships, is that, you know, once you've dated for a little while, you start getting a better sense of who it is that's like you are willing to deal with. Who, what do you want? You know what I mean? Like you start developing sort of like a sense of not only who it is that you are and what's going to help you thrive, but who's going to be a better match for that thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes we need help. Mm-hmm. In sort of like sussing those kinds of things out. But I think it's important to understand that. I think to some degree we manifested each other for each other.
I would offer a really feel good, easy, incredibly powerful little home experiment. Something that I do daily that has been amazing in the effectiveness in my life, which is every single day I write a gratitude list for things that haven't happened yet.
It's a good one.
A gratitude list for things that I want that may be wildly out of my control. And then I will take any action that I can that's in the ballpark to like help the universe help me get what I want. But practicing what I call preemptive gratitude is easy peasy. A really, really good practice every morning is to just make a list of everything that you're grateful for that is coming in the future. And I do it in that kind of light, grateful way without, again, the feelings of desperation tend to be repulsive. So make it fun. Make it fun to just like be grateful for a great day and you have no idea why it's going to be a great day. Be grateful for your next ideal client, even though you have no idea where that person's coming from, or next dream job or vacation or wedding or whatever, you know, just start practicing preemptive gratitude for the good stuff that is coming is really, really magical. And it's easy and safe and anybody can do it. So that's one of my favorites.
All right. Do we keep going with this?
I will check with producer. How are we doing on time?
No, I think we have time.
Okay,
I think we can certainly
cool.
go to the top of the hour.
So let's see. There was the preemptive gratitude. What else was there? Oh, so we started the hour and I know it sounded like it had nothing to do with manifestation, but we're talking about Devin's tooth and we're talking about raccoons. And I think I mentioned the chimney and the water heater and all that kind of stuff. I also have mentioned, I've shot videos about being a weed witch and gardening and pulling out weeds and just imagining everything that doesn't belong in my life. Every time I pull out a weed, it's a very kind of Hecate, dark goddess, you know, making decisions and choosing what doesn't get to live in my life. But all the stuff that we're doing right now, which seems like, oh my God, I can't believe how much I'm spending, doesn't stress me because it is part of building a bigger container. And we have all these energy leaks that are really distracting and really unpleasant, cold water, toothache, noisy animals keeping us awake. That beautiful chimney that we've had for 5 years.
Oh, sorry. I'm just nervously shuffling cards.
And making a lot of noise. You know, the chimney that you know, hasn't been fixed since we bought the house. So it's like, I love the feeling of just like checking all those boxes and plugging all those energy leaks because 2021 is going to be wonderful. Like 2021 is going to rock and there's going to be a very different energy to it. And that's why I am plugging the holes now for a container, for a vehicle for 2021. And that is powerful magic, like dealing with the tolerations that you can live with. Like you can live with, and last week I replaced burnt out light bulbs. You can live with burnt out light bulbs for a really long time. And you don't notice how much it takes away from you settling for that. Because whenever we settle, we're telling the universe that we don't deserve better. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how insidious it is, how subtle it is, but what a big impact it has. So every time you just make your life a little better, start with the easy stuff, with the burnt out light bulb or the towel with the holes or whatever, just, or, you know, cleaning the house, ripping out the weeds to have a prettier environment or whatever makes you happy. It just releases so much energy. And that's when really cool stuff happens.
So I have another tip.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a much smaller, this is like, in other words, the first tip was like a big psychological giant thing, right? That like you may have to wrestle to get your head around. I think that's worth it. I think it's worth considering. This one is a much smaller one. And it just has to do with, and again, it's still sort of like on the conscious level, but I think part of what it is where you quite literally go and proclaim that today is going to be a great day. And you say it to yourself, say it in the mirror, say it in front of your best friend, say it in front of your spouse, like proclaim it. Like, even if you think, oh, this is not going to be anything, do it anyway and see what happens. Because what the brain will do is say something to the effect of, oh, well, this is just garbage, so I'm not going to do it. And then of course you could just say it's garbage because I didn't do it and it was such a terrible idea that nothing actually came of it. Not surprisingly, because really the larger magic was, or the larger manifestation was, oh, this is garbage. That's the real manifestation. Oh, you've decided it's garbage. So then guess what? It's precisely that.
I am thinking of a story of a friend of mine years ago who was in the clothing business. And he had spent all this money to exhibit his line of clothing at a convention and none of it arrived. And he cast an amazing spell without using that language in his head. He made a decision that something wonderful was happening. And so he had an empty booth. And he went around and introduced himself to everybody and made friends with everybody. And he had this mystery because his stuff wasn't there. And he turned this because he decided something wonderful is happening here. Even though it didn't look like something wonderful was happening, he got so much more interest and such better relationships that he made far more sales in the end than if it hadn't happened. And I've had stuff like that in my life where it looks like the worst thing that could possibly happen happens. And it turns out to be that gift in disguise. So like jumping based on what Devin said, I think just making that decision when you're facing that horrible thing, that something wonderful is happening here, I just don't see what it is yet, is in itself a way of casting a spell and finding the thing behind the thing that wants to happen. And yeah, I did. I used your shtick again.
Yeah, you did. It's fine. It's not copyrighted shtick. It's, well, maybe it is. Everybody's using it, then that's no good. But so that's part of the thing. And the other thing is like the more measure of consciousness you put into a thing to manifest, the better it becomes. Meaning that let's say you do that thing. Okay, I'm going to have a wonderful day tomorrow and I'm going to say it to somebody. I'm going to say it to the mirror. I'm going to tell myself this is the thing that's going to be. The more you ritualize it, the more you sort of like put into that thing, the more meaningful. If you say to yourself, well, yes, I'm happy to say this thing into a mirror, but you know what is really meaningful to me is lighting a candle while I'm saying it in the mirror. Or if you say, well, but I need to be burning, I don't know, sage while I'm lighting a candle and saying it into a mirror. And instead of saying this particular sentence, I'm going to say this other sentence because it reminds me of my grandmother who always had, I always wanted cookies. And anytime I went to my grandmother's house, she had cookies. So I think you're getting the idea is that you're building upon the basic, the desired outcome, and you're fortifying that outcome with other things that help bolster A, the universe, and B, bolster you into having that thing happen. And then, of course, the easiest way to try it is to just do it. Try it and see what happens.
Devin, I just had the wildest realization. So remember, today is 11-11, and the card that I picked for what to expect for this week, it's an 11 and an 11.
Yes, it is.
Whoa, mind blowing.
Tied together with a hammock.
Yes,
a although chuppah. That's really more, yeah, it's more of an Italian chuppah kind of thing,
right,
that's going on there.
So
with a glorious couple.
This is evidence because I picked the card randomly when I was doing the reading that this is what is waiting for you. This is all about manifestation. Today is 11-11, which is 2020, which is 2020 in numerology means focus, relationship, pragmatism, teamwork, infinite potential, and conscientiousness.
And I have to go because it's.
So we're going to wrap up because you have to go. But so for all of you watching, what I'm talking about, because I forgot some of you are listening, is I'm holding up a card. It is the Four of Wands, and it's a celebration. You've got the Four of Wands, and it looks, you've got two on either side, so it makes an 11-11 like today. And we're talking about manifestation. So, you know, drawing from Devin's reading, you know, draw down from above and pull up from below. Be your magician. Look within your and you know, be true to your heart and create and focus on the positive and what you have and the bridge to your home. Even if you're seeing some crap in front of you, turn around. And this is the outcome. This is the physical evidence. I'm pointing to the Four of Wands, the celebration, the 11-11. It's just happy. It looks like a wedding. So if you are with somebody, I wish you great love and partnership. And if you're not with somebody, this is what I wish coming towards you. And in the meanwhile, enjoy this wedding to yourself. And ooh, I'm vibrating with magic.
I'm not, but I have to go.
So manifest away.
Right.
We will be back next week with a guest.
All right.
Yeah, we wanted to get this video technology halfway comfortable before we started bringing in other victims.
So, yeah, that's a challenge.
Yeah, so we have a very exciting guest next week. I'll, you know, be sending out more about it. And come back and see us next week for some more crazy, sexy midlife love, 5 p.m. every Wednesday Pacific time. Mwah! Namaste.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.